This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إله الأولين والآخرين وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. Welcome to another episode of our Tafsir, and inshallah ta'ala, today we're on page 190, which is in Surah At-Tawbah, the 10th juz of the Qur'an. In the previous episode, we mentioned those verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about how people will be tested, and how Allah azza wa jalla tests people to see who from amongst them is sincere, and who from amongst them is willing to strive for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sacrifice for him jalla fi'ula, as opposed to those who are not willing to. Those people who are not willing to uphold what Allah commands, uphold what His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests the believers and tests people in order to see their worth. And He knows subhanahu wa ta'ala, but so that it can become clear and that no one can have an excuse in this life or the next. And Allah azza wa jalla then mentioned the issue of those people who are most worthy of being called or tending to the houses of Allah, of being called the people of the houses of Allah azza wa jalla. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that it's not the people who, for example, the Quraysh in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who even though they were the custodians of the Kaaba, they didn't have Tawheed, they didn't worship Allah, they didn't believe in Allah alone, they rejected the Quran and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they're not worthy of that title, but rather the ones who are worthy of that title are the ones who believe in Allah and the last day. They establish the Salah, they pay the Zakah, and they fear of Allah. They have fear of Allah. And those are the people that Allah azza wa jalla says, they are the ones who are worthy. And that's why when they had that dispute, some of the Muslims and some of the Quraysh of Mecca, as to who was more worthy or who was better, the Quraysh said, we're better because we're the custodians of the Kaaba and we're the ones who look after the pilgrims and water them. And the Muslims said, no, we're better because we have Iman. We believe in Allah, we worship Him, and that is the essence of all good. It's the foundation of all good. Oh, Allah won't accept any good deed unless you have Iman. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides between them, and He says the two are not equal. The one who believes in Allah and believes in the last day and worships Allah is far better than the one who doesn't, even if they do other good deeds. Because it is the law of Allah that if you don't have faith and you don't have belief, then you don't have the eternal reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah azza wa jalla then tells us that those who do worship Allah in that way and strive for His cause, they will have the everlasting reward of Jannah. They will have that bliss, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to them the greatest of triumphs. Today we continue from verse 23, and that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tattakhidhu aba'akum wa ikhwanakum awliya'a in istahabbul kufra 'alal iman. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. O you who believe, do not take your fathers and brothers as allies if they prefer disbelief to faith. Those of you who do so are doing wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, He addresses the believers and He says that if your fathers, your brothers, these are the people that are closest to you. And remember, in the Arab society 1400 odd years ago, which is a very tribal society back then, the tribe is based on the strength of the family, and the strength of the family is determined by its male lineage, by the male members of that family, because those are the people that ascribe to your tribe. So when you have sons, it is the sons that ascribe themselves to your lineage. Whereas the daughters will marry into a different tribe. For example, if they marry into a different tribe and they have children, those sons are going to take the surname of the father. They're going to take the lineage of the father as opposed to the mother. And yes, there are relations there. Obviously, there's a relation and there's blood ties between them. But But that's how the Arab tribes, that's how the tribal system works. It goes through the male line. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla specifies here the fathers and the brothers. Because in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, these were the people that used to most oppose the Muslims. It was people's own fathers, people's own brothers, people's own paternal uncles. These were the ones that were fighting them and were opposing them. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that yes, these people are close to you in terms of their relationship to you, in terms of their blood relation to you, in terms of their lineage to you. But if there are people who are disbelievers, and what they do then is they harm you in your religion. They don't want you to be Muslims. They harm you. They actively try to harm you in your faith and oppress in what you believe in. Then these are not the people that you should take as your awliya, as your allies, besides the believers. And that's because the strongest bond that you have as a Muslim is the bond of religion. Your brothers in faith and your sisters in faith are the strongest people that you have with you, because they are going on that same journey. They're pleasing Allah Azza wa Jalla in the same way. Many of them are going through the same challenges that you're going through, and they're going to try to help you upon that path as opposed to stay away from you. And obviously that doesn't mean that every Muslim, if they have non-Muslim fathers or non-Muslim brothers, that they're going to oppose them, that they're enemies to them. There's many non-Muslims that their parents who are non-Muslims and their family members who are non-Muslims are actually very supportive. They're very good. They help them and they encourage them and they make things easy for them. And so it's not always the case. But remember, this verse and this surah is speaking about a time, especially in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, where it was mostly the case. If you look at the lives of the companions, you'll see in most cases that it was their family members who were some of their most extreme opponents. The Prophet ﷺ himself, Abu Lahab, his uncle, and many of the other people of Quraysh who were close family relations to him, even if they're not his immediate family, they're first cousins, or their second cousins, or their third cousins. These are people that are very close to you, especially in a tribal system. This is your closest members of your family. And they would oppose him. And they were happy when he would be harmed, or he would be abused physically or verbally. And not just him, but his companions as well. How many of the companions were being tortured by their own family members? They were the ones that would imprison them. They were the ones who would tie them up. They were the ones who would take away from them their wealth and their money. They were the ones who would split them from their families. They would split a husband and wife. Both of them are Muslims, or one of them is a Muslim. They'd split them from their spouse because they're like, we're not going to let our son or our daughter remain with you. Or the parents are Muslims, so they would take the grandchildren away. Their grandchildren, the parents would come. They would take their grandchildren away from their own children because the children have accepted Islam. We don't want our grandchildren being influenced by you. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these people are not your allies. If this is how they're going to behave, if this is what they're going to do. And we know in a number of occasions in the battles that were fought by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions, that often some of those Muslims, or on a number of occasions anyway, some of those Muslims had to face close family members in battle. And that's something which they had to go through. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here that there is, if this is what it's going to come to, then your true allies are the people who are with you in your faith, as opposed to those people who are trying to oppose you in that and take you away from that path. And Allah Azza wa Jalla establishes this as a principle in the next verse 24, that it's not just confined to a few relations, but generally in life. The believer, their mindset, their foundation is that the most important thing to me in this life is Allah. And then obviously the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nothing is more precious or more important to me. So if that means that I have to sacrifice certain things, money, career, job, certain types of relationships, because those things are trying to take me away from what is most precious and important to me, then the believer is willing to make those sacrifices. They're willing to do that, because otherwise those things are going to take them away and distance them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says in verse 24, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبَنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ
Say to them that if your fathers, your sons, your brothers, your wives, your tribes,
the wealth you have acquired and the trade which you fear will decline, and the dwellings you love are dearer to you than Allah and His Messenger and the struggle in His cause, then wait until Allah brings about His punishment. For Allah does not guide those who break away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established this as a principle. Sometimes you have to choose, not always, because sometimes the people around you and those things that are with you or that you have, they don't divert you away from Allah's path. They don't take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's fine. But even if they don't, sometimes even in those good relationships, there comes moments where it's a difficult situation and you have to make a choice. So the believer always will choose what is pleasing to his Lord, what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what guides him. What guides him is his faith. What guides him is his belief in Allah Azza wa Jalla. What guides him is his love for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And sometimes that may be difficult and put you in an awkward situation. It may be difficult to bear, but that is where the strength of faith and iman comes in. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that sometimes you have to make a choice between Allah and what Allah commands and between these other things. Your fathers, your sons, your brothers, your wives, your tribes. And doesn't Allah Azza wa Jal mention in the Quran the stories of certain prophets that had to go through these types of challenges? Didn't Nuh alayhi salam had to have this challenge with his own son? Didn't Lut alayhi salam have this challenge with his own wife? Didn't Ibrahim alayhi salam have this challenge with his own father? Didn't our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have this challenge with his uncles? And so these are very close relations too. But sometimes you have to be willing to make a difficult decision if those people are openly opposing you and what you want to believe in and your faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes it's the wealth that you acquired, because the wealth that you're acquiring or the money that you're having is impermissible, it's illegal, it's haram for you to have. Either because it's haram for you in a religious sense, Allah said you can't take that type of wealth because certain things like interest and so on, they're haram for the Muslim, or they're haram in the legal sense, illegal, meaning in the laws of that country. You're not allowed to do those things. And the believer is not the one, or the Muslim is not the one who's going to break the law because you abide by the law. You're going to stick to the law because that's the covenant and the agreement that you make when you become a citizen of a country or you reside in a country. And so you're not going to do anything which is illegal. You're not going to fiddle your taxes. You're not going to be untruthful. You're not going to have a lack of integrity. You're not going to have a lack of trustworthiness. Those are attributes and characteristics of the Muslim. And that may sometimes mean that you have to give up some money. You have to give up some of that wealth because it's not always fair. And sometimes the system to you may not seem fair either. But you're going to sacrifice that because your love of Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and you're upholding the principles of your religion and your faith more important to you. وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا. And sometimes it's the business that you have, meaning you're engaged in a business which before you became a Muslim or maybe before you were practicing your religion had elements of doubt or elements that were haram. You were selling, for example, alcohol. It's not allowed for a Muslim to sell alcohol because we consider that to be impermissible in our religion. So therefore the profit that you make and the money that comes from that also becomes impermissible. But that's what you did. It was a big part of your business. So now you have to sacrifice that. And by sacrificing that, your profits may go down 20%, 30%, 50%. That's a difficult thing because you're going to see that impact in your bottom line, in your profit and margin, in your profit margin, in your accounts. Those are things that are going to take a real hit upon you. But again, it's a sacrifice that you make. And the dwellings that you love, meaning the dunya in general, masakin, the dwellings you have, the possessions that you have, striving and wanting more of this world and the dunya, because sometimes you have to sacrifice all of that as well for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Say that if all of these things are more beloved to you than Allah, His Messenger, striving for His cause, then wait. Wait and see Allah's punishment come upon you or the command of Allah come upon you. Because what it will mean then is that you're going to give up principles of your religion. You're going to compromise on essential parts of your faith to appease people and please them that actually even probably then won't really be very happy with you. They probably won't even be very pleased with you because that's the nature of people. Even when you bend over backwards, often they're not happy with you anyway. They want you to continue bending until you break your back. That's just the nature of some people. And so if you have principles that you uphold, firm principles that people know and they can respect and they can understand, they're more likely to respect you for you upholding those principles and you sticking to what you believe in, as opposed to saying, no, this is what I believe, but then you change and you stop and you compromise every time there's a new challenge, that shows that you don't have very much faith in what you believe in. You're not very strong on your principles. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about these choices that often people have to make. And so the one who is the believer will make that difficult choice. The one who knows this will make that difficult choice because they know that it is more pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is the meaning of believing in Allah azza wa jal. And this therefore is a verse that shows to us something that we all know as Muslims, and that is that it is obligatory upon a Muslim that there is nothing that is more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wasallam, none of you truly believe until Allah and His Messenger are more beloved to you than everything else. And so that is part of our faith and part of our belief. In verse 25, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then speaks about another topic. He says, لَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَوَاطِنَ كَثِيرَةٍ وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ ثُمَّ وَلَّيْتُمْ مُدْبِرِينَ. Allah has helped you on many battlefields. Even on the day of the Battle of Hunain, you were well pleased with your large numbers, but they were of no use to you. The earth seemed to close in on you despite its spaciousness, and you turned tail and fled. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking here about an incident that took place in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the conquest of Mecca, so in the 8th year of the Hijrah. After the conquest of Mecca, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard that a tribe by the name of Hawazin was getting ready to attack the Muslims, because the conquest of Mecca was a major event in all of Arabia. And so this showed the strength of the Muslims and their presence in all of Arabia now, that they haven't conquered the premier tribe of Arabia, that is the Quraysh. And so the Hawazin, which was a major tribe, a big tribe, they came together. So the Prophet ﷺ went to fight them at a place called Hunain. And so the battle is named after Hunain. The army of the Muslims was 12,000 in number, and the people of Hawazin were 4,000. From the beginning of Islam until this moment in time, every time the Prophet ﷺ faced opponents or enemies in battlefield, in war, in any expedition, the Muslims were always the minority in number. They're always being outnumbered, 2-1, 3-1, 4-1, that's the norm. Now, for the first time in Muslim history, the Muslims outnumber their enemies. They're the ones who are 3-1, it's 3-1 in their favor. They're the ones who outnumber their opponents. And so as they came to this place, a number of the companions, because remember, many of these companions now were new Muslims. They just accepted Islam before the conquest of Mecca or after the conquest of Mecca. So some of them said, today, if we lose, it won't be because of a lack of numbers. Meaning today we're going to win. We used to win when we were well outnumbered. Now we're the ones who were outnumbered. So this should be an easy fight. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught them a lesson, a very important lesson. And that is that your victory or your defeat isn't just to do with numbers, not just to do with weapons, not just to do with soldiers. It is what Allah decrees and what Allah wants. And you can have the biggest of numbers and you can still lose. And you should know that as a lesson, because in Badr and in all of these other battles, you were the ones who were being outnumbered, but Allah still gave you victory. So don't think now that it doesn't work the opposite way, that just because you're the ones who outnumber, that you will have necessarily an easy job or an easy victory. And so when they came, the companions, to this battlefield, and the battle began, in some narrations it is said that the people of Hawazin were exemplary archers. And so they just shot down upon them a barrage after barrage of arrows. And so the Muslims became routed at the beginning. And the vast majority, these 12,000, the vast majority of them started to flee and run away from the battlefield. It is said that only 100 or so companions remained with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the midst of that battle. Imagine, from 12,000, 100 remain, according to some of those narrations. And it shows to you how difficult that battle was and how unexpected that attack was upon the Muslims. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the one there, and that's the narration that you have, that he started to recite poetry and say, أَنَا النَّبِيُّ لَا كَذِبْ أَنَا ابْنُ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ. I am the Prophet, it is no lie. I am the son of Abdul Muttalib. And then he asked Abbas, his uncle radiallahu anhu, to call the Muslims to come and regroup around him. And Abbas had a very loud voice. So he called the people and he called them by different labels, by different titles, and he told them, come back to us. come and regroup with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Muslims did so, and that is what Allah azza wa jalla is referring to here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and remember on that day, on the Battle of Hunain, when you were amazed by your number, but it didn't help you. At the beginning, it didn't help you. And the earth became closed upon you, meaning it became restricted upon you despite its spaciousness, meaning that you couldn't see a way out. You thought that it's going to be defeat. From 12,000 thinking that you're just going to come and wipe everyone out, to having this situation where now you're feeling like there's no escape, that you're going to end up losing. ثُمَّ وَلَّيْتُ مُدْبِرِينَ, and you turned and you fled. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 26, ثُمَّ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ وَعَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَأَنزَلَ جُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا وَعَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَذَٰلِكَ جَزَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ. Then Allah sent down His calm, His tranquility upon the Messenger and the believers, and He sent down invisible forces. He punished the disbelievers. This is what those disbelievers deserved. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that was at the beginning. But then you regrouped and you came back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so Allah azza wa jalla sent down upon you His tranquility, made you calm at that time, allowed you to regroup, allowed you to think clearly, allowed you to turn back to Allah azza wa jalla. And so when you did so, and no doubt that is from the greatest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time. And that's what Allah azza wa jalla says in that previous verse. Allah helped you on many battlefields, including the day of Hunain. Because had that tranquility and calmness not come down upon you, then you wouldn't have regrouped and you wouldn't have been able to overcome your opponents on that day. So then Allah azza wa jalla sent down His army of angels, and they helped the believers, and they made them firm and steadfast, and they helped them overcome their enemies on that day. And so Allah Azza wa Jal gave the victory to the Muslims, but Allah Azza wa Jal also taught them an important lesson. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here in Surah At-Tawbah. As we said, Allah Azza wa Jal throughout the Quran speaks about the different battles that took place in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because often there are important lessons to be drawn. When you're the one who's in the minority and you turn to Allah and you ask Allah because you need that help and you feel like you're weak and you're alone, so you're more likely to make dua. But sometimes when you're in the majority, or you're the one who's strong, or you're the one who's the wealthy one, or you're the one who's the influential and powerful one, you think that you don't need anyone or anything now. And that's not how the believer is. In times of ease and in times of difficulty, whether you're less in number or more in number, whatever the situation, you always turn to Allah and you always ask of Allah and you always make dua to Allah, because you know that nothing can happen except by Allah's will and by His permission and by His blessings and His grace subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the final verse that we'll take, Allah Azza wa Jalla then says in verse 27, finishing off the story of the Battle of Hunain, ثُمَّ يَتُوبُ اللَّهُ مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ عَلَى مَن يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. But then Allah turns in His mercy to whomsoever He will, for Allah is most forgiving and merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that then He forgave, made tawbah, repented upon many of those people. Who are those people? The Hawazin, the people who were initially fighting the Muslims and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Hunain. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam won the battle, and he went and he took obviously the war booty and so on, and then he returned to Medina. And the people of Hawazin then accepted Islam, and they came back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina, and they said, O Messenger of Allah, we now accept Islam. So will you not return to us our wealth? Will you not return to us our prisoners that you took on that day? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam agreed, and he addressed the companions and he said, these are now your brothers. They've accepted your religion, and so give them back that which they asked for. And so the believers or the companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in did so. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that Allah then forgives whomsoever He will, just like He did in the conquest of Mecca. How many of those Meccans were ardent enemies of Islam for years upon years upon years? But after the conquest of Mecca, how many of them then accepted Islam? Like Abu Sufyan and Ikrimah, the son of Abu Jahl, and before them Khalid ibn Walid, and all of these people that at one time were ardent enemies and opponents to the religion of Islam and to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah Azza wa Jal forgives whomsoever He wills, He guides whomsoever He wills, He repents upon whomsoever He wills. And if Allah Azza wa Jal sees goodness in someone's heart and sincerity and purity, even if it's after many years, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to them that guidance and that forgiveness, and He will repent upon them. And with that, we come to the end of today's episode. Barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.